An angel, my little angel. There's a fascination, you know, with angels. Some people remember Touched by an Angel. Some people remember Charlie's Angels. Some people collect angels and maybe have their whole tree that just explodes with angels. All kinds of angels. People collecting them, people watching movies like It's a Wonderful Life. You remember that Jimmy Stewart movie? How he thinks his life didn't matter, didn't count? How he wished he had never been born? And then what happens? Well, an angel shows up, Clarence. And as it turns out, Clarence helps Jimmy Stewart see that his life does count, that all of our lives matter. And in the end, it's Jim Bailey, right, who helps Clarence get his wings. Angels, they're all over in the Bible, you know. But do they still come? Do Christmas angels still show up and make their appearance? A few years ago, there was an article in the Thrivent magazine written by a Ted Schroeder. I want to tell you this story. Because, you know, Christmas is not always a happy-go-lucky time for everybody. For some people, Christmas can be a very stressful time, or a time filled with sorrow, anxiety, loss, and grief. Well, for Ted Schroeder, he said it was kind of a mixed bag. He was looking forward to Christmas. All the kids were going to be at their house. All the grandkids were going to be there. But he was also dreading the arrival of Christmas. They had a small house. He knew that there would be lots and lots of noise, and he also knew that there would be bickering and fighting. You know, some of the kids saying, well, she got more than I got, feeling that they had been left out or that they had been shortchanged. So Ted said we were getting ready for Christmas, and that's when Grace called. Grace was an elderly woman. Toward the end of her life, Grace lived in the neighborhood. Grace called. Now, in the past, Ted and his wife, they had done things as much as they could for Grace. She was a neighbor. They had taken her a few years earlier a plate of Christmas food, Christmas dinner. Last year, the previous Christmas, they had even picked her up and taken her to church for Christmas Eve worship. Well, this year Grace needed something more. You see, Grace had lost her husband, her kids had abandoned her, and her health was frail. She said, "Can I come and spend Christmas with you? I'm all alone, and I'm not feeling well." Well, Ted said he tried to explain to Grace that it wasn't a good time, that they had a small house, that there was no room at the inn, that all the kids were going to be home, and all the grandkids, and it was going to be really noisy. And on the other end of the phone, he heard this sigh. So Ted said, "Well, but you know, Grace, we can always make room if you don't mind the noise." And so she came over to their house and arrived on Christmas Eve. She was frail. It would be her last Christmas on earth. And so she sat on the couch. And instead of all kinds of bickering and shouting, everybody had to be quiet. They had to use their inside voices because of how frail Grace was. And they took turns sitting by her. They took turns, some of the kids, helping to give her her soup to eat. Grace was telling the kids, the family of the Schroeders, some of her stories. And then she started with her raspy voice to sing some of those German Christmas carols. And so this woman, who started out to be an intrusion into the Schroeder Christmas family celebration, became the centerpiece. Grace was making Christmas for them. No bickering, no fighting. But then she got terribly ill. And on Christmas Eve, they had to take her into the hospital. In the hospitals, on Christmas Day, they took turns. While some went to worship, and while others were in the hospital taking care and keeping Grace company. Grace was weak, but as she was surrounded at the end of Christmas Day by the whole Schroeder family, she said, I want to pray. And so she did. Dear God, thank you for giving me this family to love and take care of me, for bringing me home, for giving me your love. Bless them, Lord. Amen. Well, they read the Christmas gospel from Luke 2 with Grace. And then after they finished reading the Christmas gospel, they started to sing that hymn, Angels We Have Heard on High. Gloria in excelsis Deo. It was Grace's last Christmas. As they left the hospital that day, Christmas Day night, it was one of Ted's kids who looked at her father and said, Dad, do Christmas angels still come? And he said, well, I think so. And then he paused. And he said, no, I know so. This year for sure. Christmas angels. Those who receive the message of good news and great joy. And those who don't dawdle or dilly-dally. But they go with haste. That's what the shepherds did. They went with haste and they found the baby just as it had been proclaimed. The angels were the messengers with a message, and the shepherds heard and received the message. And then they became messengers themselves. They went everywhere, praising and glorifying God, ceaseless worship. And they announced the good news to all who had ears to hear. An angel, not just the characterization of a particular kind of behavior on the part of a person. Well, they're being a good little angel, as opposed to that fallen angel, Satan, who disguises himself as an angel of light. An angel, one who wants to bring the real presence, the gift of God in human flesh, wrapped in bands of cloth, lying in a manger, to a world that is captive to sin and evil and darkness. A word of light, a word of hope, a word of love, a word of grace at Christmas. That's real presence. For God's people, the angels. We hear about the angels all over the place in the Bible. Remember in Genesis 18, Abraham was 99, Sarah was 89. They were old. And God showed up, three men who are later described as two angels, and God is having this conversation with Abraham about the fate of Sodom and Gomorrah. Three men? The triune God? Two angels? You see, they can't figure out how to describe it when we are in the presence of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They announce the birth of Isaac. And you remember how Abraham was haggling with God about the fate of wicked Sodom? He haggled God down from 50 to 40 to 30 to 20 to 10, and then he stopped. For the sake of 10 righteous, I won't destroy the whole evil city. But we all know the truth, don't we? We need to hear the truth at Christmas. No one is righteous. No, not one. All sin, all fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. That's why God gave us Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us, the Word made flesh, the light that shines in the darkness, to conquer sin. You'll call his name Jesus because he's a Savior. He's going to save God's people from their sins. The angels, like when Abraham took Isaac up on Mount Moriah, also called Golgotha, and he was about to sacrifice his only son, his son whom he loved, Isaac, and there was an angel of the Lord that intervened and said, stop, and a substitute was provided. Angels, like Psalm 91, the promise that God gives, he'll send his angels to guard you in all your ways, to protect you lest you dash your foot against the stone. Angels, like the three visits that Joseph got. Angels, like the visit of Gabriel when he came to Zechariah and announced the birth of John the Baptist. Or the angel who came to Mary, an angel of the Lord called Gabriel and says to Mary, hail, O favored one, the Lord is with you. Yes, but how can this be? I'm engaged, but we haven't consummated the marriage. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the child that will be born in your womb will be the Holy One of God, the Savior of the world. And Mary said, yes, let it be. I am God's servant. You see what happens when the Word becomes flesh, when it dwells among us? The angels give us the message, and then we, by God's grace, we become the messengers, the ambassadors, the celestial mailmen, if you will, delivering good news and great joy to the world. Angels, they appear not only at the birth of Jesus, but when he's in the wilderness being tempted for 40 days, they come and they minister to him. And then, after he is crucified on the cross, Easter morning, the angels return. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. That's why Jesus is born, to be God with us, to be God for us, to be the incarnation in the flesh, to put sin and death to death, to put evil eradicated forever. Christmas isn't about just this cute little baby in a manger, but a baby who is King and Lord and Sovereign and Savior, your Redeemer, the God who is for you, the God who forgives you. Real presence. That's what God gives you this day. And God commissions you to be a Christmas angel, to be an ambassador of his word, his love language. It was a few years ago in the Guidepost magazine that I heard about a bus driver in Milwaukee. He was driving the metro route on the street that headed west. His name, John Williams. Now, John was used to making lots of stops. He stopped as he was driving on Wisconsin Avenue at Marquette High School. And a bunch of rowdy high school basketball players got on with their Letterman jackets, and they had their high-top, you know, fancy-laced basketball leather shoes. And they were noisy. And they went to the back of the bus. And then he made a few more stops, and then he came and stopped in the front of the Milwaukee County Medical Complex. And there was a woman, about 35. She asked the bus driver, she said, "Sir, is this the bus that goes downtown?" And he said, "Well, eventually, but first I'm heading west." "What are you doing out there in stocking feet? It's 10 degrees out. You need to have some shoes." She got on the bus, she paid the fare, she sat down. She had this long, gray, tattered coat on, and it was tattered from the collar all the way down to the hem. About 35 years old, out in the cold with just stockings on her feet. She sat down, and John, the bus driver, looked at her and said a second time, "Ma'am, it's too cold. What are you doing? You can't be out in this kind of weather in stockings and no shoes." She looked at John and said, "Now, sir, don't you worry. Don't you worry. God will take care of me. God always has. God always will. The important thing, I had enough money to buy shoes for my children." He continued on his route, stopping. And then pretty soon he came to 124th and Blue Mound, where all those rowdy basketball high school players got off the bus so that they could transfer on another bus and go to their nice suburban homes. All of the kids got off the rear bus, except for one. One came up, and as he was getting off the front, he stood in front of this 35-year-old woman, and he handed her his new high-top leather basketball shoes and said, "Here, you have these." And with that, he got off the bus in 10-degree weather in his stocking feet. Do Christmas angels still come? Well, what do you think? This year? For sure. Because grace is the center of our celebration. The one who is wrapped in bands of cloth will one day be wrapped in a linen shroud. The one who is laying in a manger will one day be laid in a borrowed tomb. The one who is born in Bethlehem, house of bread, will be the bread of life for the world. The one who is born in a stable is born again this day in your heart. You become the womb of Christ. The Word becomes flesh, and by the grace of God, sinners are forgiven, the lost are found, and Christmas angels go, and they share the good news. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Wrapped in bands of cloth, wrapped in bread and wine, for the forgiveness of your sins. Real presence for you. Amen.